story to be. You're going to be listening, hopefully. If not, I totally understand. Genesis 24 in your Bibles. Genesis 24. Interestingly enough, as nervous as I get when I'm up here, there's nothing compared to proposing. This is like a piece of cake, and I'm still like almost shaking. Anyways, but Genesis chapter number 24 in your Bibles, we're going to read most of this chapter. Well, not most of the chapter. We're going to read about half of this chapter. We're going to just start in verse number 1. I'm just going to begin reading. It says, "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and unto my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs go bring thy son again to the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware that thou bring not my son thither again." Sorry, I'm just messing stuff up here with my hand on the side here. "Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord thy God of heaven," verse number 7, "which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land, and shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and sware to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hands. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city, by a well of water, at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her a pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she was down, and she went down to the well, and filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her, and said, Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, Drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her head and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man wondering at her held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring off a half shekel weight and 2 bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, Is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, We have both straw and provender enough, and rooms to lodge in. And the man bowed his head and worshipped the Lord. Tonight I'm going to be focusing, I'm going to kind of go over this chapter in a second a little bit, but mainly I'm going to be focusing on Abraham's servant, and specifically his prayer that he prayed to God. But before I do that, let's pray, because I need God's help right now. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you please just help me tonight. I have a lot on my mind, Lord, and just kind of scatterbrained at the moment. I pray you please just help me to be able to direct my thoughts, and just, I pray you please just use me today, Lord. Use my mouth. Just help me to say only what you'd have me to say. Just help everything that I say to just honor and glorify you, Lord, and that it would just speak to everyone here, Lord, that they would just be able to get something out of what I say and through your word, Lord. And I pray that you please just give us a good night tonight and just speak to hearts and lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Like I said, we're going to be focusing on Abraham's servant's prayer, and that's actually the title of my message, is A Servant's Prayer. And we can see quite a lot of things from his servant. I mean, you can kind of go through, and there's a lot you can get just out of his servant in general, just in our life. Of course, Abraham's a picture of God the Father. And as his servant, as a servant to Abraham, he would be a picture of us as Christians today. And it's very interesting to see just the willingness he has to serve his father, and just you can go through quite a lot of things. But like I said, today we're going to focus mainly on just the prayer of Abraham's servant. We're going to begin reading again in verse number 10. And I have three things that I'm going to kind of point out in a couple of these verses. But like I said, starting in verse number 10, it says, And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hands. And he arose and went unto Mesopotamia, unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by the well of water at the time of the evening, when the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day. And so the first thing we see about Abraham's servant's prayer, or just the servant's prayer, the first thing we see is when he prayed. When he prayed. So number one is when he prayed. Well, again, look at at the end of verse number 11, end of verse number 10, he gets to Mesopotamia, and as soon as he gets there, he has his camels kneel down, and the first thing he does after this is he prays. And I feel like looking at his life and comparing it to my life as a Christian and our life as Christians today, I feel like so many times we forget to pray. Instead of getting to somewhere where you need to be, or instead of seeking God's counsel and wisdom for the different things in our life, instead of seeking Him first, we decide, you know what, I can do this on my own. We decide, you know what, I don't need God's help right now, I can do this. Imagine how much different this story would have been if Abraham's servant would have decided he could have done it on his own. Imagine how much different this could have been if he would have said, nah, I got this. I don't need God's help. Honestly, it would be much like our lives today. And I hate to say that, but it's very true. So many times in our life, we do things just because we think we can do them. We know we can do them. And we do them, and then looking back, we go, what was I doing? I was an idiot. Why did I do that? I just messed all this stuff up. And then we decide we're going to go to God and beg Him to help us. Okay, imagine how much different it would have been if Abraham's servant said, you know what, I'm going to find a wife on my own. Imagine if he went and found a wife for Isaac on his own, okay, and messed up her life and Isaac's life and God's will for their life. Imagine how much different it would have been if he didn't seek God first. So many things in our life today could just be avoided, so many problems we have, if we would just seek God first. It is very important that we just simply go to God first. It's so much easier, again, like I said, to seek His wisdom, seek His counsel, seek His guidance first, than to not seek His counsel, to mess up and then have to have God fix it. Because we like to go to God after the fact. We like to, after we just messed something up, after we just made a mistake, that's when we like to go to God and say, God, I need your help. God, help me, please. I need your help now. Well, you kind of needed his help before, but you were too blind and foolish to look for it, to ask for it. Let me keep to my notes here before I get too sidetracked. So we need to pray first thing. But I have a question. Why don't we as Christians, we know it's important. I could ask everyone in this room, is it important to seek God's counsel first? Everyone in this room would agree, yes, it's important. We need to seek God first. And even the little areas of our life that don't really matter, it's always wise to seek God first. It's always wise to ask for His guidance. But why don't we do it? Why is it so easy just to forget that, or why is it so easy just to not pray first? Why is it so easy just to leave God out of the picture and try and do it on our own? Well, I feel like one of the main things, and I'm sure this could be said about a lot of things, but really the main thing is we don't have a proper relationship with God. And I say this often. I've been counseling Jordan quite a bit, and just counseling, and I say this often, 90% of the problems in people's lives, if not maybe 100%, is their walk with God. If we would just walk with God as Christians, that would solve 100% of our problems. If we would seek God first, that would solve 100% of our problems. The Bible says, ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. He gave us a promise, oh, I'll open the door, okay, I'll answer you, I'll show you, but you first have to ask. You first have to seek, and you first have to knock. If we as Christians would just do our part, if we would just get in the Word of God, if we would just read and study and memorize His Word like He commands us to, then our life would be so much easier. If we would just take the time to have a true, real relationship with God, it wouldn't be hard to seek Him first. It wouldn't be hard when something comes up in our life, when a decision comes up in our life, it wouldn't be hard just to stop and pray and seek God's guidance. Because we have a right relationship with Him. But the thing is, we get so caught up in ourselves, we get so blinded by what we want to do, our selfishness, our pride, we get so blinded by the things of this world that we forget that God is even there. It seems like we completely just leave Him out of the picture. And here all of a sudden now, days have gone by and we haven't even acknowledged God's existence. And now a decision comes up in our life, and we go, oh, I got to fix this. And we make a decision to mess something up. But if we would have been walking with God, if we would have been in a relationship with Him, we would have, our first thought would have been, hey, why don't I go to God for this? He knows what's best. He's got a will for my life. He has what's best for me at every decision I make, He has what's best for me if I would just seek it, if I would just ask for it. And so we see that Abraham's servant first, we see, like I said, when he prayed. And we see just how important it is to pray right away. Secondly, we see in Abraham's servant's prayer, we see how he prayed. We see how Abraham's servants prayed. And look with me in verse number, let me find it here. We'll start reading verse number 12. It says, and he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of waters, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, And she shall say, got it? Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. And I lost my spot. Oh, okay. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. So we see that second, or we see not only, like I said, when he prayed, but we see how he prayed. And letter A, we see that he prayed specifically. Abraham's servant prayed specifically. I feel like this is something that so many times in our life we very much just don't do. It is so easy just to say, God bless so-and-so. How often do we pray prayers like that? God heal so-and-so. God help so-and-so. But we never pray specifically. How easy would it have been for him to just say, God, I pray you'd show me the right girl. Okay? Well, God could do that, but you know it would be a lot harder. God could show him the right girl through that prayer, yes. But we miss so much of what God has done for us when we don't pray specifically. And I'll show you what I'm talking about. Let's say he didn't pray that God would show him the right girl, okay? And let's say Rebecca did come, and he did end up thinking that this is the right girl. He might always doubt, this might not be who God has. Because it was never specific. That's something that you're always going to doubt because you didn't pray specific. If there's something in your life that you're not for sure on, if there's something that you prayed about and you see feel like God's answering it, but you're not for sure, that's probably because you weren't praying specific. And you can go a step further than that. Another thing we miss when we don't pray, when we don't pray specifically, is we miss that God even did anything. Okay, so if I pray God bless so and so, and God blesses so and so, how do I know that? Now, if I pray specifically, so and so needs a car, I pray you'd bless them and give them that car. And then 3 days later, they get a car. God just answered my prayer. But if you're not praying specifically, if you're not praying that God would do specific things in your life and specific things in other people's life, you're going to miss that God even did anything. You're going to miss the fact that God has been speaking to you and that God is working in your life and in the people around you that you've been praying for. Again, God wants to show us, and I'm getting ahead of myself, God wants to show us who He is. And God wants, more importantly, us to praise Him. With that, I'm getting ahead of myself. So I'm going to move on to the next thing. The second thing we see that He prayed, the second thing about how He prayed is He prayed in faith. The fact that He was able to pray so specifically about something proves very much that He had faith that God could do that. No doubt the servant has seen and heard what God has done in Abraham's life. No doubt he had heard the stories of God calling Abraham away from his home country, away from his kindred, into the land he was. No doubt he had heard of all the provision God had placed upon his life. No doubt he had heard the stories of Isaac being sacrificed on an altar. No doubt he had heard all this, and he had faith in God. I lost my train of thought. He had faith that God could answer this prayer. The reason he was able to pray so specifically is because he believed God could do it. Jesus, I'm going to lose my train of thought again. Jesus said, if we have faith as small as a grain of a mustard seed, we can say unto this mountain, remove thence from yonder to place, and it will remove. It's not talking about physical mountains there, of course. It's talking about, like, what we're trying to say. It's a picture of our life. If we have the smallest little faith, the things in our life that seem so great can just be removed with just a tiny bit of faith. Think of how big of a task this servant was given. He is supposed to travel back to the place where his master came from, and he's supposed to find a wife who he has no clue about, he's never met. He's supposed to find a wife for his master's son, Isaac. That's a pretty big task. That's a pretty big mountain, if you will. But he had faith that God could work. He had the slightest bit of faith, and we see later on in the chapter where that faith takes him. We see not only how he prayed, we see that he prayed specifically. We see that he had faith when he prayed. And we also see that he prayed in the will of God. And this is another thing that, again, I and myself see quite often. How often we pray outside the will of God. Pastor's really convicted me about this in my life just recently on Wednesday nights. Just how many things we pray that really, they just aren't biblical. Things like, God, I pray you'd help me to read my Bible. God never promises to help us read our Bible. We should just read our Bible. God, help me to be faithful. We shouldn't ask to be faithful. We should just be faithful. And so many times we pray, and we're praying not, as Pastor put it, we're not praying in the Spirit. We're praying in our flesh. Another thing we pray outside of the will of God is for things. I think of James 4, verses 2 and 3, says, "Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not." So that's not quite talking about what we're at yet. It says, ye have not, because ye ask not. But you say, well, I'm asking, so why am I not receiving? Well, the next verse says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. If what we're asking for as Christians is just for our flesh, is just for me, we're not praying in the will of God. We're not praying to further God's working in our life. God's working in other people. We're not praying for others, and we're not praying to help God. We're praying to help me. And the Bible says, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss. We need to be careful that what we're asking God to do is inside of His will. Again, Abraham's servant was praying specifically for something that was in God's will. Abraham had sent him to find a wife for his son Isaac. And of course, like I said, he was praying in the will of God. And we as Christians just need to be very careful that what we're praying for is not for me, it's not for what I want, it's not about me, it's about God. It's about what can I do to serve God, what can I do to serve others. Nextly, we see that he prayed selflessly. And this kind of goes along the same line. So many things that we pray for ourselves. I kind of got ahead of myself, but we pray not for to help others, not to help God. We pray that we may consume it upon our lust. And we see Abraham, look at the verse. Verse number 12, at the beginning of his prayer, he says, O Lord God, verse number 12, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. At the very beginning of his prayer, we see what he was trying to accomplish. He was trying to accomplish God showing kindness to Abraham. It wasn't even for him. He says, show me good speed, not for myself, but for my master Abraham. Show kindness unto him. Help my master. It wasn't for him. It wasn't about what he wanted. It wasn't that, man, I really want to get out of here. No, it was my master Abraham. And so many times again in our life, we pray for ourselves. We pray so selfishly. God, I want this. I need this. Help me do this. I need this. But we forget that more than anything, it's not about what I want, it's about what God wants. God, I think I need this, but do I really? That'd be a good question to ask yourself when you really want something really bad. Because the truth is, if you really think about it, you probably don't need that. We as Americans, we are very spoiled. Very, very much so. Think of just all over the, or any other country you go to, they do not have near as much as we do. And yet we pray for things, oh, I need a new phone. My phone's starting to act up a little bit. And I'm already wanting a new phone. The truth is this thing works just fine. But yet I want another one. Why? Because I want to consume it upon my lust. Because it's not about, okay, God gave this phone to me, so I should use it for Him. It's not about how can I use what God has given me for Him. It's about, I want this for me, and I want it to be the best. And I. And we get so caught up on I. Yet here Abraham's servant is, and we also see at the end of his, verse 14, at the end of that verse, he says the same thing. And I shall know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Again, he's not praying for himself, he's praying for others. And we as Christians need to be careful that we pray for others. Let's stop getting so focused on ourselves. Let's get off of ourselves and start praying for others. Instead of praying about what I want, what does God want for my life? Instead of praying what I need, pray what God wants for me. Because a lot of, like I said, the things that we think we need, the truth is we really don't need. And then number three, we not only see when he prayed, how he prayed, but number three, we see after he prayed. We see the after effect. Verse number 14 says, verse number 15. It says, "And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out." Before he had done speaking. Because of the way he prayed, because of the time he prayed, the aftermath to his prayer was God answering his prayer. Not only God answering his prayer, but God answered his prayer before he even finished praying it. God in his foreknowledge knew exactly what Abraham's servant was going to pray and had already sent Rebekah to draw water before he had probably even started praying. And because of how Abraham's servants prayed, God was able to answer his prayer. And again, I can't stress enough how important it is that we pray how Abraham's servant prayed. We pray specifically. We pray in faith. We pray in the will of God. And we pray selflessly. Because if we're praying in that manner, if we're praying how Abraham's servant prayed, God can actually answer our prayers. And not only God can, but we'll actually be able to see it. And so not only do we see that God answered his prayer, but then we see something in verse number, hold on, I got to find it. I didn't write it down for some reason. We see in verse number 26 something that I feel like this is the biggest thing that we as Christians fail at. Verse number 26 says, "And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord." And again, I feel like I'm just a broken record, but I think of my life and just how many things I pray for. Even if I'm praying specifically, even if I'm praying how Abraham's servant prayed, even if I'm praying everything right, as soon as God answers it, I go, "Oh, hey, look, that just took care of itself. That was cool." And I walk away. And I miss the very purpose that God answered that prayer. The very purpose that God is doing things in our life, the very reason he is answering our prayers is so that we'll acknowledge him and praise him for the great God that he is. The very purpose we were created as human beings was to fellowship and praise and worship God. And so many times we as Christians, God does so many great things in our life. He's blessing here and he's blessing there and he's answering all these prayers for us. And here we are with our nose stuck up in the air. Wow, I'm doing pretty good right now. Wow, I got this. Wow, that's awesome. Wow, that job came out of nowhere. Wow, my car's running again. Wow, all these things. And we miss the very purpose that God did those things for us. To show us who he is. To show us how great he is. So that we'll just worship him. How many times we as Christians fail at worshiping God. I think of the verse, "Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." But there's another verse that also says, "Every knee should bow and every knee should confess." The shall, someday all of us will bow. We all will worship God someday. But right now we have a choice. It's your choice whether or not you pray how Abraham's servant prayed. It's your choice whether or not you worship God. It's your choice whether or not you have a relationship with God. And like I said, it's your choice on how you worship God and if you worship God. I just think of all of the, like I said, all the different times in my life, all the things God has done for me. And I just take it all for granted. I don't even take the time of day to stop. How long does it take to stop and thank God for something? And yet He does something miraculous in our life, and we just walk away. Oh, that was nice. Shame on us. Shame on me. So I guess I'm going to close today. I'm just going to ask the question, when are you praying? When are you praying? Are you praying first? Are you putting God at the top of all your decisions? Or are you using Him as your final resort, as your last resort? How are you praying? Do you pray specifically? Do you pray in faith in the will of God? Do you pray selflessly? And then what happens when you pray? Does God answer your prayers? If He's not answering your prayers, well, it's probably because you're not praying how you should. And if He is answering your prayers, are you praising Him and thanking Him for them? Are you giving God the respect and the worship that He deserves? I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet if you will.